At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
This is The Edge with Jonathan Von Tobel and Matt Eumanns on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
What up, folks? Welcome in. It is another edition of The Edge. We've got a good show on tap for you today. Coming up in 30 minutes from now, Sean Salisbury is going to be with us, former NFL quarterback. Going to talk a little bit about the NFL draft. We've got a draft-heavy show today and a lot to discuss about the National Football League draft, which is a week away as of today. But we begin with the NBA because the postseason is underway right now, Matt Eumanns. And we did get, I would say, a somewhat surprising result given how the first half played out between the Boston Celtics and the Brooklyn Nets. Brooklyn opens up a double-digit lead over Boston in the first half. Third quarter gets a little dicey, but the fourth, they're held to 17 points against Boston. Ultimately lose to the Celtics, 114-107, and now are sitting in a 2-0 series hole going back home to Brooklyn.
Yeah, and I think the Nets are going to be a really popular bet with a lot of people in Game 3. Anytime you have a team this talented that's down 2-0 in a series going home, the public's going to look to play the Nets. And I can't say I necessarily disagree because Kevin Durant's got to be embarrassed by the way he played last night. Now, the Celtics have done a really good job defensively, throwing Jason Tatum and multiple bodies at KD. And he's really rattled last night in the second half. He was 0 for 10 from the field with 4 turnovers.
Yep.
How about this? A first for KD and Kyrie. First time in 55 games as teammates. Both shot worse than 33%. Last night, KD 4 for 17. Kyrie 4 for 13. I thought it was really interesting, too, how passive Irving was on the offensive end. I expected him to get up a lot more shots. In fact, he had a more active fourth quarter in game one than he was in all four quarters last night in game two.
Yeah, and I think when it comes to Kevin Durant, so there's a few things. I think that the Boston Celtics deserve a lot of credit for the way they play him defensively. You mentioned they could throw multiple 6-7 dudes at him. Al Horford, I think Al Horford has been so good in this series defensively.
I know you're going to talk about defense. Yeah. How about that catch and shoot quick release three he had from the corner last night? The ball could not have been in his hands for a half second, and he drains it.
Yep.
You know, he was great on both ends of the floor.
No, he's been fantastic. And in those minutes where he's alone big on the floor, he's done tremendously. Yeah. But when it comes to Kevin Durant, 42, 41, 41, 41, 42. Those are his last five games in terms of minutes played.
Yeah.
You think at some point, right, like this minutes load, I think, is probably catching up with him in this second, in the second halves and in these games. You know, he looked a little ragged, and ragged's not the right term, but he didn't look comfortable in game one. You saw what happened here in game two. Kyrie Irving, we saw the footage of him yesterday. He's fasting all day.
Yeah.
Right? And so he has to go in the middle of the game when sundown hits so he can go get fruit, so he can go get some water and hydrate. And I think it's just when you look at the workload of these guys and the lack of help that they have around them, it does tend to, I think, lend to or looks like performances like last night in the second half where KD goes 0-10 from the floor.
Is Kyrie, the next game Sunday, is it Sunday afternoon? Is Kyrie going to be fasting all day? Because that's actually an interesting, it's a minor thing, but a handicapping angle. He didn't look like himself at all last night. He looked like he had no energy.
Yeah.
He was eating a banana during the game, and he just didn't have it last night. I think Sunday's game is during the day, isn't it?
No, I'm pulling it up right now for you right now, so we'll see. Let's see. They play on Saturday, and that'll be at 4:30 p.m. Oh, so 7:30 on the East Coast. So should be at night. Should be good.
Well, it's that's a Saturday game. Today's Thursday. I keep thinking today's Friday.
It all melts together.
Trying
man.
To get to the weekend quickly. Yeah. I'm ready for the NFL draft next week. I kind of like the Nets in Game 3. I think they got to, and I'm not counting on Steve Nash to figure it out. I think it's going to be KD and Kyrie who have to figure it out. Mm-hmm. And even last night the Nets were up 17 in this game, and KD just couldn't hit a shot. When you got a 17-point lead and you got one of the best players in the world on your team, you shouldn't lose a game. But Kevin Durant could not hit a shot from that point forward. And also, I look at it this way. The Celtics, everything they threw up in that fourth quarter was going in. Yes, they were making some insane shots. And you have to give the Celtics credit for that. But, man, they were red hot. I got to think the Nets bounce back in game two. I'd probably bet a cheap money line price if I can find a good one out there instead of laying the 3.5. But I like the Nets in game three.
Yeah, game three. And you don't see an adjustment. You really don't have to. There's not much separating these teams still, even with a 2-0 series lead for Boston. Mm-hmm. 3.5 in Brooklyn for game three with a total of 223.5. And I'm going to mention it. How about this first half line? Westgate right now has Brooklyn as a 4-point favorite in the first half.
Yeah, but you know what? Last night, I made a mistake. I played the Raptors for the game instead of the Raptors half unit in the first quarter, half unit for the game. They easily covered the first quarter, mm-hmm. even though there was no line value, right? They easily covered the first quarter, and then for the game, you took one of the worst beats of the season.
Yep. So we got three more situations like that coming up, right? You get Denver, and we have. I didn't want to bring that up to you, but that was tough yesterday. The Precious Achiuwa free throws at the end of that game for the Toronto Raptors.
Well, he missed two, and then OG Anunoby, I think, missed one of two.
Yep.
And the second one spun all the way around the rim, goes off. At that point, I knew the Sixers were going to win by three.
And from David Bierman over at ESPN, 76ers were 2-point favorites. Game three didn't lead at all in regulation, did not lead by more than two until the final second of overtime where Joel Embiid catches the ball on the left wing and puts it up.
How bad a beat is that?
It's pretty bad. It's pretty bad. Given
how lucky are you if you're laying two with the Sixers and you never led by more than two until the last shot of the second OT?
Oh, trust me.
And the final second of OT.
I've got like 76ers fans like sending me DMs be like, they took it. This was their game, the 76ers.
They're lucky as hell to win that game last night.
No.
And first of all, the goaltending call in the final minute of the regular was a bogus goaltending call that gave James Harden 2 points and it should have been the Raptors' ball.
Yeah.
How do you call goaltending on that? It was out of his hand for a tenth of a second and swatted away. It was on the way up.
Right. And when it wasn't even like it was OG Anunoby's finger perfectly hit it right when it was going up. It was a brutal ending.
Joke.
And I would say this too for both teams. I thought both teams were actually really bad in half court at the end of that game. The second to last possession for Philadelphia, which, and they mentioned on the broadcast, and it's a great point, how lost that half court offense looked without James Harden on the floor.
I thought both teams were lost in the half court offense.
Well, one of them, at least with Toronto, the excuse is they were 21st in half court offense, right? Like Philadelphia looked terrible with Tyrese, and I love Tyrese Maxey, but they gave him control because Harden fouled out, and it looked like absolutely lost. So Embiid, you give him credit though; it was a fantastic shot. I mean, back in the day, if I could tell you, a center would be hitting shots like that to win games for you. It's incredible what he's able to do.
I mean, that's actually. I saw something last night. I don't know how many years it goes back, but that's one of the few, if not the only, game-winning three-pointers by a center in NBA history.
Yeah. It's got to be. I think I got to find that. I saw that as well. I don't know if it was the only or whatever it was, but yes.
It said that was the only one going back X amount of years to all the years they had research for that sort of situation. I can't imagine it's ever happened.
Yeah, it was an incredible shot. So,
and by the way, Embiid had also in the final second of his career, and shots to tie or win a game was 0 for 14.
So, oh, I didn't see that. Yeah. Really?
So
nice.
Now he's one for 15.
Yeah.
And that's a bad beat, man, if you had the Raptors plus two.
When you think about all those things on top of an 0-14 trend for Joel Embiid and shots.
I think the thing that bothered me the most was the bogus goaltending call.
Yeah. Yeah. It stunk. That and Precious Achiuwa looked shook after he missed the three free throws, too. So that was a problem. So the Raptors plus 165 series bet. Still some life. I refuse to give up belief until the series is over.
So this is nothing worse. I saw you tweet this last night. This is what a gentleman's sweep is, okay?
Oh, yes. It's, okay, this is great. Tell me.
It's a team wins the first three of the series. The other team wins the fourth. And then the series is decided in five.
That is what I believe, too. That is what I believe to be a gentleman's sweep. I have been told from multiple people that it's three losses, then a win. Wait, no. The other way around. The winning team, how did I do it? Oh, loses game one and then wins four straight.
It's 3-1 and then
that's what I believe it to be,
too. The series is over.
I was actually more amazed that there was like a difference of thought. I thought it was a known fact that a gentleman's sweep was like 3-1 and then one.
Because this is what it would be. The Sixers have won the first three. The series is over.
Right.
Raptors get a game
at home.
We'll
give you one at home for your fans.
Right. The gentleman's sweep, and then the Sixers get game five, and it's all over. By the way, the Yankees just struck out again.
Okay. Are you sure that's not a replay? Because that happens quite a bit. Not to bag on the New York Yankees. And finally, yesterday, too, I will say one of the more irritating performances that I watched was DeMar DeRozan was freaking awesome yesterday for the Chicago Bulls. 41 points, 7 rebounds, 4 assists. DeMar playing like an MVP.
Yeah.
Do you think they'll still let me cash that ticket? From ESPN Stats and Info, as you said, DeMar DeRozan, 8-9 with 16 points with Giannis as his primary defender. Is it Jamal Collier?
You know, I'm going to say this. Three of the best players in the NBA were in action last night. It was Joel Embiid, the Freak, and DeMar DeRozan. I'll tell you what, the Freak was for the Bucks. He was unstoppable anytime he wanted to go to the rim.
Yep, he was. And can I just say one thing? And this is what drove me nuts about watching this yesterday. And this is why Mike Budenholzer does get the flack that he does at times.
Mm-hmm.
When DeMar DeRozan and Zach LaVine are just running the exact same play, which is Nikola Vucevic, high pick and roll, and we're either going to dribble into a mid-range shot or we're going to do a pick and pop or we're going to throw it to Nikola Vucevic because you're playing drop coverage over and over and over again. Change it up.
Yeah.
And they did, but they changed it up with like 4 minutes left. And finally, with like 4 minutes left, you saw guys starting to like double off and like hell and do all those things and, you know, doubling the guy with the ball. But it was ridiculous because there was a possession. Like, I want to go back and see this. Like, do you count Giannis as a primary defender when you're having him as your center drop 5 feet?
Yeah.
Right? Like, it was maddening watching them play defense yesterday at times.
Yeah. And the one thing I agree with you, and the one thing we haven't talked about, the injuries playing a big role. Are going to have a big impact on two of these series. We talked about one yesterday with Devin Booker's injury, and now the Suns are 1-point favorites on the road in game three, tied up in that series. And Devin Booker looks like he's going to be out for, 2 to 3 weeks?
It looks like it.
Chris Middleton
sprained MCL.
And that's a 2-week injury.
Bobby Portis, you saw him yesterday, too, taking up on the eye.
I'm not saying the Bucks are going to lose this series to the Bulls. Last night they lost as 10-point favorites. They're about $5 favorites on the money line, and they went down 114 to 110. By the way, the total was 225.
They also
That was an interesting ending to the game to the total as well. But I'm not saying the Bulls are going to win the series, but the Bucks in the big picture are in trouble now.
Oh, I mean, I think the way they've been playing defensively, absolutely. Yeah. I was watching that thinking, man, Boston would probably tear this apart. And that's who, I mean, if it holds, would be their next opponent. All right, we'll come back. Let's get to the NFL draft. We're a week away from it. Let's discuss it. And I've got a prop for Matt that I was digging around and finding some numbers on that I think he'll be interested in.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
I'm not guarding like that, CJ.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is The Edge on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We have a special draft preview show this Sunday, 6 p.m. Tim Murray, Sean King are going to break down all the first-round prospects and props. Expert guests include legendary broadcaster Brent Musburger, former NFL GM Michael Lombardi, and former NFL lineman and TV host Mike Golic and his son. VSiN's draft preview special is this Sunday at 6 p.m. exclusively on VSiN. Don't forget to download our NFL draft betting guide featuring best bets, mock drafts, and everything you need to score big this draft season. Download it today for just $10. Go to VSiN.com/draft for more information.
Draft VSiN draft preview special. The draft guide, betting guide, is going to be out tomorrow, I believe. So you can download that at VSiN.com. It probably could have found a better cover photo.
Wearing gloves because he can't throw with his tiny hands, so he needs the grip.
We don't always have to use the quarterbacks either. Can we use a different position? I'm gonna lobby to get
like
that
this.
Change. Yeah, a draft like this, let's not put the quarterbacks on the cover. Come on.
All right. So I'm going to ask you this because there was a couple of things that stuck out to me when hunting around some of these props in different markets and whatnot. But I'll ask you first, your mock draft, your top three picks were who?
All right, so mock draft number two, 2.0.
Oh, I didn't know there was a 2.0.
I left Aiden Hutchinson at number one, and 2.0 is going to be in the draft guide that comes out tomorrow. But I sent this in. I finished this yesterday morning at 4 a.m. So Aiden Hutchinson is still number one. I really have a feeling he's going to slip to the Lions at number two. Okay. But I have no idea who the Jaguars want to take at number one. So I'm going to play it safe here and go with the odds-on favorite. Hutchinson right now minus 200 to be the first pick, the defensive end from Michigan. Now, if he doesn't go number one, there's no doubt the Lions are taking him at number two.
Right.
So I did make a bet on Hutchinson at plus 220 to be the number two pick of the draft, just in case he didn't go number one. I threw a big surprise in here at number two.
Yeah, you did.
Derek Stingley, junior quarterback corner from LSU, number two to the Lions. And I think a lot of people would scoff at this. A couple of years ago when the Lions took Jeff Okuda, corner from Ohio State, at number three, I said this is a ridiculously bad pick. You can't take a corner this high unless he's Deion Sanders. Mm-hmm. And I watched Jeff Okuda all the way through his career at Ohio State. He's good. I like him. He's not Deion Sanders. You don't take him in the top five. How much of an impact has he made for the Lions so far? Almost none.
Right.
He's been injured quite a bit, so that's part of it. But I did. This is not a complete guess on my part. I read a story that was sourced. It had an anonymous source with some insight into what the Lions draft board looks like.
Okay.
And the Lions draft board is if Hutchinson falls, he's going to be the number two pick, no doubt.
Top graded guy.
If he goes number one, the Lions are trying to decide between Stingley and another player at number two. And the source did not mention who the other player was, but Stingley was one of them.
It's got to be the other one of the other edge rushers, right?
Could be Trayvon Walker.
Could be Kayvon Thibodeau.
It says definitely not Ahmad Gardner. It's the corner that the Lions like is Derek Stingley.
Yeah.
And this is a source with knowledge of the Lions draft board. So that's why I put Stingley at number two. Now, right now at William Hill Sportsbooks, you can get Stingley to be the number two pick in the draft at 30-1 odds. You can get him to be the number three pick at 100-1 odds. I don't think it's out of the question either that if Stingley doesn't go number two to the Lions, that the Texans might take him at number three.
Yeah.
That's just a guess. That's a 100-1 shot. And again, at William Hill, the odds are much better than they are anywhere else. I found Stingley to be the number three pick at 100-1 at William Hill and 7-1 at BetMGM.
Okay.
So is that a big difference? What do you think?
Yeah, I think so. So what I was going to ask you for when tying to the
DraftKings also has like 7-1 on Stingley to be the number three pick.
Really?
Yeah.
So I was curious your thoughts of the top three picks just being the three edge rushers in any sort of order, which would be Hutchinson, Walker, and then Thibodeau. And maybe breaking down is
well. That certainly could happen too,
right? And that's because I think because the everything I've kind of been looking around at, like Kayvon Thibodeau, and I know in your most recent one you have what, five?
Well, let's throw it back up there. I think you got Thibodeau at number five. Yeah, I got Trayvon Walker at number three because I went, you know, in the Stingley pick. Is this a wild card pick? A lot of these mock drafts follow the same formula.
Yeah.
I said let's throw a surprise in here because if this happens, it's not going to stun me. Based on what I read from that source who knows the Lions draft board. So anyway, I went Hutchinson, defensive end one, Trayvon Walker, defensive end three to the Texans, and then Kayvon Thibodeau, defensive end five to the Giants. The pick I'm most confident that I've nailed here is Ahmad Gardner, cornerback from Cincinnati to the Jets at number four.
Yeah. A lot of intel tying him there. I mean, everything that I've looked at has put him there. It's like the consensus selection for multiple draft picks is four in that range.
Also, at the number eight spot, I put in Jameson Williams, wide receiver from Alabama. And you could have got a pretty good number, double-digit odds on Williams to be the first wide receiver off the board a week or two ago. Now, the best I think you can find is about 8 or 9 to 1. If you think about before his knee injury, late last season, he was the number one wide receiver.
Yeah.
All right? So he's going to get over that knee injury, and he's going to be fine again. He's going to get back to 100%. Why would he drop that far on draft boards? I think at some point, a lot of these NFL personnel evaluators got to come to their senses and say, well, wow, you know, Jameson Williams was our number one. Why is he still not our number one? I like him better than Garrett Wilson. I like him better than Chris Olave. And I think that opinion is going to be shared by some people in the NFL. Still, you know, those receivers are very tight when you're talking about Garrett Wilson, Chris Olave, Drake London, Jameson Williams. Those four guys are elite. Traylon Burks from Arkansas, 6'3", big receiver, 6'3", 225. He's going to go in the first round. Those five guys are going without a doubt. The 6 and 7 receivers are Jahan Dotson from Penn State and Christian Watson from North Dakota State. And there's a chance Sky Moore from Western Michigan could sneak in there. You know, you're going to get five receivers. Hopefully you get to six because a lot of us bet on it. I think you will get to six. And I think Watson from North Dakota State's a guy. I want to ask you about quarterbacks because I've got three quarterbacks in this first round of the mock, none in the top 10. Mm-hmm. And I bet Kenny Pickett over his draft position, I think 9.5 or 10.5. I bet him over 10.5, I believe.
William Hill's got 10.5.
Okay.
Oh, shaded to the over pretty high. Which actually pretty off market because I was looking around. I got my handy dandy notebook here. With all the 12.5 is the other spots that have him up.
Yeah, I think I played him over William Hill 10.5.
Now it's -185 to the
I was going
to
say I had to lay a decent price on that too, but I felt better betting over 10.5 than I did 12.5. So just went ahead and laid the price. I think the first quarterback to go off the board could be Malik Willis to the Seahawks at number nine.
Yeah.
And that's why I didn't bet Willis over his draft position because I suspect that the Seahawks are going to jump quarterback for Willis at number nine. And I don't think the Panthers are taking Kenny Pickett at number six anymore. I think they want to move down. They have no picks in the second or third round. They have holes to fill. I don't think Kenny Pickett's that much better than Sam Darnold that you draft him number six when you're Matt Rhule because you got to win this year. So I expect Pickett to drop to the teens. I'm playing him over. But the one spot where I think we could see the first quarterback surprise is the Seahawks number 9 with Malik Willis.
I think that's one of the more likely destinations for Willis. And again, for those who are like I was going through some of these online books too, if you're in a jurisdiction like Colorado that's got DraftKings FanDuel points bet, if you want to bet over Malik Willis, for example, you can lay $1.50 and get over 9.5 at points bet, as opposed to going over 10.5.
I don't want to do that though, because the Seahawks got the 9 pick.
Well, of course, but I'm just pointing out that you can go and shop around, or if you want a little less juice, William Hill's got him at 9.5 over -125. But to your point, I agree with that. Like, the thing that gets me is with Willis, just reading everything and getting into it, 9 seems to be like the point, right? Because if he doesn't go there, then you could see that going pretty far down to like the Saints, where they're picking in the mid-teens.
Yeah, I could see him. That's where I have him slipping, by the way.
The Steelers, but Todd McShay has said it's rumored that the Steelers want Malik Willis, and that if he gets into the mid-teens, they would trade up for him, not Kenny Pickett.
Right.
Which, just because he went to Pittsburgh doesn't mean a team has to draft him.
No, but if Kenny Pickett's still on the board at 20 and the Steelers are sitting there, do they take an offensive lineman? I know that's who everybody wants him to take, but at that point, do you take Kenny Pickett at number 20?
Mm-hmm. So I got two more quarterback things for you.
Think so.
First off, Desmond Ridder. Lowest draft position prop I found was 28.5. You're just laying -130 on the over.
I don't know, man. I'm concerned about the quarterback prop. I bet under 3.5. I just played under 3.5 -175. I think 4 quarterbacks in this first round is crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Let me tell you something. You sent me a text today and said Pro Football Focus has 1 quarterback in the first round of the mock.
Mock draft. Yeah.
I was watching NFL Network before I left home today. Maurice Jones-Drew.
Huh? Yeah, 5.
Maurice Jones-Drew of NFL Network puts out his mock draft. He's got 4 quarterbacks going in the top 10.
Stop. Just stop.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. That's crazy.
We do this every year. At best, these 2 of the guys, and we'll ask Sean Salisbury about it. The 2 guys that are best first-round picks are going to be Malik Willis and Kenny Pickett. And like to say that there's going to be 4 or 5, I get it. Like the Lions kill you if you're betting like under 2.5. But if you got 3.5, I joined you on that prop, by the way.
Matt Corral is gaining steam. I think it's more likely now Matt Corral is going to be a first-round pick.
By the way, really quick, that's why I wanted to go over on Ridder, because I think if you're getting 3 quarterbacks with that last pick, everything I have taken in, it would be Corral as opposed to Ridder, who would be that final pick of the first
round. I think that's the way it should go. I'm not saying that's the way it will go. All it takes is one team to say, hey, we love Desmond Ridder, and you lose that bet. Let's see what Sean Salisbury thinks.
All right, let's ask him about the 5 quarterbacks that go in the top 6 picks, according to some, and much more, including a little bit more, too, on these edge rushers, because I find it pretty interesting. I don't like the Kayvon Thibodeau thing. He continues to kind of slide for a dude that was once considered the best prospect, but I think there's a pretty good chance he's a top 3 guy. We'll talk about that more when we come back.
This is The Edge on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Hey, you ready for a fresh start? A real fresh start with lasting change. Take the Zyn 10 Challenge. Switch up the way you've been enjoying nicotine. Available in a variety of tastes and strengths. Zyn nicotine pouches deliver smoke-free, spit-free nicotine satisfaction. Try Zyn nicotine pouches for 10 days. Your money back. Your fresh start is here. Take the Zyn 10 Challenge today. ZYN.com/10. Zyn nicotine pouches only for adults 21 or older who currently use tobacco or nicotine. Warning. This product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. All right, let's continue our conversation on the first round of the NFL draft. Former NFL quarterback Sean Salisbury is with us now to give us some time and discuss everything. Also, host of the Sean Salisbury Show on Houston Sports Talk 790. Sean, we appreciate the time. Wanted to start with the quarterbacks first, and they're always at the front and center of everything. But we were just discussing this. When you watch the trio, Malik Willis, Kenny Pickett, Desmond Ridder, we'll throw Matt Corral in there. How many do you believe, honestly, with their level of play, deserve to be first-round picks?
Well, I wouldn't, for me, judge. And now, listen, here's the thing. There's guys we say, and because they're not sexy quarterbacks, well, you know what I mean, where there's that Aikman or Luck or Trevor Lawrence or 2 or 3 of them, we're like, this draft isn't, you know, it's not very good. And yet some of them, like in the Darnold and Mayfield thing, we're still watching if that class, and then Allen steps. So you never know how it's going to be 3 or 5 years from now. Which, in fairness, we got to give these guys a chance to judge them then. But yes, on the surface, for me, I would take any of them inside the first, unless you're desperate now. Now, see me, but if I'm sitting there and if you're Carolina and you're not going to trade for Mayfield and you're not sure about Darnold and you're not, and you think that you've emptied the bucket on him, then you have to take one if you're not going to trade for anybody. You just do and hope that I don't believe any of them are ready to start in the fall. You know, we'll see, guys. Lawrence was ready where he gets off the bus or off the plane. and you stick him in and starting at OTAs, he's the starting quarterback for your football team. On the surface, and just from watching them, and I've seen those four a lot, I think there's each of them have something to love, and there's ifs beside each of their names, or we'd be having them in the first few picks of this draft. So I wouldn't take any of them in the top 10 unless I was desperate, like Carolina, and hope that you're properly coached, they can build around you in 3 years from now. Because anybody who says there's no way that Matt Corral or no way that Malik Willis is going to be a star or a franchise quarterback in 3 years, then they ought to take 2 weeks off and quit, because none of us can judge it like that, even those who study it the most or the best quarterback whisperers in the world, because we want to see how they develop. But Saturday to Sunday is a different game. It just is. So desperation I get. I like stuff about all four of them. I do different traits. But if I did not need a quarterback or I kind of needed a quarterback, I wouldn't take one of them in the first 10 or 12 picks. I just wouldn't. But I do think there's some real value and a chance to grow if you've got a veteran who's been around a while, like in Tampa, say. If you don't like Kyle Trask, you grab a guy later. I'm not saying they're going to, but that kind of situation where you're saying, all right, man, let's get him with Tom for a couple years and draft him in the first round, or teams like that. If you're Minnesota, they're not going to, but you, that type of situation where you say, I give him time, because I don't believe one of these guys right now is it can walk off their campus and go in and tear the league up. It's tough enough for the first pick, let alone a guy who I don't think is worthy of the first pick. But I like some stuff about all four of them.
Yeah, I agree with that. Sean Salisbury with us. Sean King here at VSIN, former NFL quarterback, says he has a first-round grade on none of these quarterbacks in this draft.
I'm with him.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sean, what have you heard from your sources around the league at which teams might be most likely to draft a quarterback in the first round if it's not going to be the Panthers?
Put it this way, if the Panthers don't trade for somebody and they don't draft the quarterback, you know what that's going to tell? Because isn't Matt Rhule, they're in some desperate need, right?
Right.
Either they love Darnold, which I'm not sure that they do right now, and Sam's got some ability, but we can't keep saying ability till there's production. Imagine if they pass on him and nobody trades up for a quarterback. That will tell you all you need to know about general managers and coaches and their first-round type grades or late first-round type grades and early first-round grades on a guy. So I may think different, but to me, the Atlanta Falcons now, you've got Marcus Mariota there, but which guy is he? Is he the guy who came into the league or the guy who was a starter in Tennessee and lost his job? I think there's one you have to look at. If you're all of a sudden, and I've always believed this, guys, I don't care what I put value on or what you guys or any of us watching. If I'm the general manager in Atlanta or Carolina or Seattle, and I love a quarterback, draft him. Or if if you like a guy, I'm willing to pass. I'll move down or do something else. I got to love a player, not just quarterback, but a player for me to draft him. So I think about teams that are building it. You lose Matt Ryan. You don't know about Mariota. Boom. That's that franchise, meaning Atlanta. Carolina, obviously. I don't know how Seattle. Now, Drew Locke may turn into something, but to me, he seems like a backup spot starter in the league.
Right.
I would, if I was them, I would look hard at it. If I was the Saints, I'd consider it. But right now, Jameis, if he's back and healthy, but you have to at least maybe visit it. If you're a team with a veteran quarterback, if Minnesota doesn't think the kid from A&M from 2 years ago or last year, should I say, their third-round pick is that guy, then maybe them. So there are teams, but Seattle seems like a no-brainer. Atlanta seems like they should be interested. And I tell you a sneaky one, although I don't think they're going to do it, I will not be shocked if the Tennessee Titans visit that. I won't if they visit it. And then there's the Pittsburgh Steelers, if they think Trubisky is a guy or that guy. If you're that guy, you don't draft the quarterback. If you think he's just a guy, you jump into the Pickett or Frey for Malik Willis or whoever you love. So four solid ones. I don't think there's a great one, but I think with some work and proper coaching, somebody could develop into a pretty solid starter.
Sean, next Thursday night when the first round is over, and obviously we can bet on this prop out here, it's the number's anywhere from 2.5 to 3.5. How many quarterbacks do you think are going to go off the board in that first round? I think it's going to be 3. What's your opinion?
Yeah, I was just about to say, if you set it at 2.5, I'd take the over. If you set it at 4 or 3.5, I'd take the under.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think Matt Corral, who of the four is probably the guy that people wonder. But I think that that's a guy that's sneaky good. I love his story, how he overcomes. He's been well coached. I think he's tough as hell. And he brings that, what we're looking for, guys, the ability to destroy you with his feet, right, when things break down. And so I think it's sneaky, but you may get him in the second round. I'll take the over on 2.5. I'd take the under on 3.5.
Okay.
Sean Salisbury with us. All right, Sean, so at the top of the draft, I think we kind of have an understanding of how it might shake out, but I was asking Matt here, and I'll ask you, the more I've been looking into this and reading, the more I wouldn't be surprised if these top three selections are actually any mix of those three defensive ends that are coming out, those edge rushers. How do you expect those top three to play out?
Yeah, I'm with you. I said this. I don't think there's any way in hell you get through the first five picks with three of those guys not being gone, right? Mm-hmm. If they aren't, say, well, you know, from Thibodeau and Hutchinson and Walker, it seems like, and for me, you're the quarterback, but nobody's going to get the quarterback in the first three. I wouldn't think Detroit, that's another team when we talk about quarterbacks, but with Goff's contract, you may have to wait here. Do they want to, are they willing to take a risk at two to grab a quarterback? But I'm with you. I think I'm always, if you don't love a quarterback or a skilled position guy, grab the best player, the 10-year, and the safest. When I say safe, I don't mean a guy that doesn't have upside. A guy that, like, I remember when Quentin Nelson came out at Notre Dame, I said, I don't draft him, pencil him in, I'll see you in a dozen years, and he'll be in 8 Pro Bowls. Mm-hmm. That's how I felt about him. I don't see how Hutchinson doesn't give you, I mean, I've seen enough to know that he's a player. Thibodeau, as he continues to rise, and he's got great ability, worth the risk. We've watched, the production wasn't as much with Walker, but we've seen all the things, and I'm still marvel at how in the offseason, without full gear on, a guy goes from January where we're not talking much about him to he works out for a few and he's a freak show and he is a monster and lacked a little production on a really good defense, but they see so much upside they're willing to possibly take him first. I get it because you want to hit the home run, but I'm sometimes okay with making sure I hit a double and if it turns into home run, fine. They're all really good players. And then I look at the linemen. It seems like we got three tackles that if you were to take two tackles in the first five picks, you seem like you've hit a home run. Quan is a really good player. Cross, a good player. But Evan Neal, how does that guy miss, right?
Right.
Well coached, 6'7", 330 moves. That seems like a safe guy that you plug in and say, I'll see you in a decade, man. So, yeah, I don't think there's any doubt. We've got the receiver position, the edge rusher, and these tackles that you look at and say, once one goes, I would imagine they're going to start to go in bunches.
Mm-hmm.
Because those are three really, really good positions in this draft. Even though people say it's not a great draft, those positions are stockpiled. Even though we don't have that sexy quarterback 3 and 4 guys at the top of the draft.
All right, Sean, we only got about 40 seconds left, so just wrap it up with this. Who do you think the Texans want at number 3? You're in Houston.
There's like 14 different guys. Can I have 4 picks with the third one? I think the 13th pick is going to be moving time or possible. That's like a Jameson Williams if they get him. But I don't believe in a two-deep scheme. I think Sauce Gardner is a great player. If you're a two-deep zone team, I don't need a guy that – I'm taking away his skill set by not letting him play a lot of man. I wouldn't take a corner that high. For me, I would take one of the edge rushers, but I would start with a big tackle. I love Evan Neal. You got Tunsil. Build it that way. Give Davis Mills a chance. And I don't see how you don't just draft the guy if he's sitting there and say, you know what, let's put him in and let's roll. But I understand the edge rusher disruptor temptation. So I'll take the offensive lineman. But I know they love 4 or 5 guys. We're going to find out if they make the right choice because they haven't made a lot of them in about the last 3 years.
We appreciate it. Thank you very much.
That's
for the time. Sean Salisbury will be back here on The Edge.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
I'm not guarding like that, CJ.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. He's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is The Edge on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Baseball predictions made brighter. Join the Born in a Ballpark Challenge presented by Blue Moon to compete for free cash all season. And our weekly prediction pools to fight for your share of $62,500 in total cash prizes. Head to DraftKings.com/Blue Moon now to join the action. Blue Moon, made brighter, 21 or older. Terms and conditions and other eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Drink responsibly.
All right. We got a lot of ground to cover here in the last 10 minutes. Right, let's get to it. Right. Your best bets.
Best bets Thursday, just one. We will go with the square side, laying the 1.5 this morning with the Golden State Warriors. We talked about this ad nauseum. It's a bad matchup for the Denver Nuggets. The Warriors are playing really well. They match up extremely well. And how about some of these numbers behind what seems to be one of the best lineups constructed in NBA history, Matt Eumanns, through two games. That death lineup that we're talking about has played 11 minutes together. A net rating of plus 129.3. Mm-hmm. How about that? 93.2 is the effective field goal percentage. 58.8 assist rate. Oh, and the turnovers? Yeah, none. They haven't committed a turnover yet with those five out there on the floor. It's been pretty incredible.
It's only 11 minutes. So.
Yeah, it's 11 minutes. I'm not saying they're going to go out and put up another plus 90 net rating, but it's clear that the Denver Nuggets have matchup issues with the Golden State Warriors. Mm-hmm. They have been getting off to competitive starts because Steph Curry has been on the bench to start each of the last two games. I just think we have seen the difference between these two teams and laying what was 1.5 this morning for Golden State on the road. Good play there. So give me Golden State minus 1.5.
All right.
Oh, should note, got to tell you. Raptors plus 165 over the 76ers, as we discuss every single day. I still have that series ticket. I bet on it. And the Bucks to win in a sweep yesterday, they go down, so they're not going to win in a sweep. So it took a loss there.
I took a loss with the Raptors plus 2 last night. They never trailed by more than 2 till the last second of overtime.
Yeah.
So that's got to be one of the worst 10 worst beats of the NBA season. That's sick. Anyway, that's the way it goes.
I like that. Anyway, we move on.
I feel like I was on the right side in both games the last 2 days and lost them both.
But, welcome to the NBA.
That happens.
It's
welcome
been my
to
life
NBA
for the
betting.
Last 4 or 5 months.
Let's take a look at NFL draft props, and we'll expand on these, obviously, tomorrow and next week's show. But these are going to be in the NFL draft betting guide. This play I put out early, wide receivers drafted in the first round, over 5.5 minus 165. Quarterbacks drafted in the first round, I'm playing this under 3.5 at minus 175. That's a steep price, but, man, I just don't see four quarterbacks going in the first round here. I think you get two, and the third is a coin flip between Corral and Ritter at this point, but I just can't see four. I don't even think you should have three.
I think it should be two at the most.
I would agree, but some of these teams get desperate and reach for a quarterback. I'm just not sure you reach for these guys.
I agree. So. I keep going back to just plain logic. If every smart person who watches this for a living is telling us, I don't know, man, like these guys probably would
none of these guys have first round grades.
Right. Yeah. And then we're sitting here making mock drafts with four of them going in the top five. Like it just.
I said Maurice Jones-Drew at NFL Network today puts out his mock draft. He's got four quarterbacks in the top 10. Come on. There's no freaking way that should happen. Kenny Pickett, draft position over 10 and a half. I'm not even sure Kenny Pickett goes in the top 20.
Agreed.
If he's still on the board and the Steelers are picking at 20, I'm not sure they take him, and they need a quarterback. I'm going with the Saints to draft Malik Willis at 9-1 odds, and that's more of a hunch than anything. But I think the Seahawks, the Steelers, and the Saints are the three teams in play for Malik Willis, and I'll take 9-1 that the Saints end up with him. Ahmad Gardner draft position under 7.5. Sauce. That's minus 200 right now. I've got him going fourth to the Jets. Derek Stingley, draft position under 11.5, minus 150. I think he goes in the top 10. And Stingley would not shock me if he goes number 2 to the Lions, number 3 to the Texans. George Karlaftis, Purdue defensive end, draft position over 18.5, minus 130. I think he's going somewhere in the 20s. And, again, I've done hours of reading on this and researched every team's needs and most likely draft picks, and that's how I come up with these plays. I'm not just guessing. N'Kobe Dean, Georgia linebacker, the Butkus Award winner, the heart of the Georgia defense, 28.5. I'm going under. I think he's a first-round pick. There are a lot of doubts about him being a first-round pick. You might even be able to get a better number than 28.5. We see more draft props go up on the board. Right now we've basically got about 5 books to pick from.
Right.
Circus Sports is going to put up draft position numbers, I think, on Monday. The Westgate Superbook, the same. The South Point's going to go up at some point. Tony Miller at the Golden Nugget told me he's not going to book the NFL draft.
Really?
Yep.
Mm, that's a bummer. Good thing it's not out here.
Yeah. All right, quick recap of the USFL in week one. You can't bet on football games this time of year. Dave Tooley and Steve Mackinnon and Point Spread Weekly, they love the USFL. I don't see much to love. I wrote a column about it this week.
You're telling me.
Huh?
You're telling me.
Here's a Chris Andrews quote that I think sums up what I watched in week one of the USFL. And you see the scores up there. The highest scoring game was 28-24. The Birmingham Stallions over the New Jersey Generals. Chris Andrews, South Point Sportsbook Director, said it was disappointing. He's talking about the wagering action. Everyone is comparing this to the old USFL. But they forget how good that league was. There were Hall of Famers, great players in that league. It was not a crap league. He didn't say crap, though. It was not a crap league. That was legit, and this is not. And, you know, I wanted to like the league. I was trying to keep an open mind in the first week, and I recorded all the games. I went back and watched every one, and it's tough. It's tough viewing. You don't have any high-profile players. I mean, Shea Patterson, Jordan Tamu are your highest-profile quarterbacks. You had two games where the point totals were 29 and 20. Mm-hmm. You had a Michigan Panthers team that fumbled 9 times. The best game of the week was by far the first one. Saturday night, pretty good TV audience, a game simulcast on Fox and NBC. Birmingham beat New Jersey 28-24. Game went down to the final minute. The other three games were really disappointing. Favorites went 3-1 straight up in ATS. Unders went 3-1. You know, totals opened at some books in the low 50s for these games.
Really?
And closed as low as 39.5. Wow. In one game. So if there was any sharp money, and there was not much from the bookmakers I talked to, it was under the total, especially those early numbers in USFL week one. Again, I want to like the league, but JVT, you got to do something to draw eyes to the league, to create betting interest. And I know this league promised high-scoring games. That's not going to happen when you have bad quarterbacks.
Yeah, right.
You have lame quarterbacks, you're not going to get high-scoring games. Do you think the USFL should do something like sign a guy like Colin Kaepernick?
I mean, that's always the obvious ploy, right? Get the
Johnny Manziel. Yeah, guys like that, Carnival Attractions. Mm-hmm. But if Colin Kaepernick wants to get back to the NFL, why is he not quarterbacking in the USFL?
I mean,
you got to prove you deserve a shot.
Yeah. I mean, there's a bigger conversation to be had about that, but yes, to a certain extent, you do.
Right.
USFL stinks. That's my takeaway.
The U.S., I want to like football, but I think it's pretty obvious that this product leaves a lot to be desired. All 8 teams, by the way, playing in the same stadium in Birmingham.
Right.
So you call the You call the Pittsburgh Maulers the Pittsburgh team.
Right.
But they don't play any games in Pittsburgh, so why should anyone in Pittsburgh give a damn about any of their games? You got one home team and seven teams with phony homes.
Right. Just call them like they just call them by their mascots. Just call it the Generals and the Stallions.
And by the way, Monday night, did you watch that game on FS1?
No.
There's fewer than 100 fans in the stadium.
I saw screenshots of
– It was bad.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. I saw a lot of screenshots.
Tickets are $10. Kids are free. Take your family out, JBT.
Well, I'm going to get flight to Birmingham right now. Also, what is not terrible, though, is college basketball. We did get news yesterday, college basketball. Two big things.
One good thing, one bad thing.
Oscar Tshiebwe going back to Kentucky. That's good news.
Yeah, the player of the year is going to come back to Kentucky, and right now you find Kentucky somewhere around 10-1 on the College Hoops Futures Board. Not great value there. But that was the good news. The bad news?
Jay Wright has decided to retire. Wants to spend more time with his family, reportedly. Woj came out with a report yesterday. Sorry. He who shall not be named came out with a report yesterday saying that the NBA, all circles are saying no interest. No. He doesn't want it. And actually, there might not even be interest from the NBA circles either. So seems like he's at least retired for now. For now is a key question. I was surprised. I didn't realize he was only 60. So there's time for him to take 2 years off and then come back and do whatever
he wants.
There's
no question. He could come back in a couple of years. But obviously, I think the current climate in college basketball, the transfer portal and everything, is going to wear out these older coaches.
I mean, there's no days of rest, like nothing.
So Jay Wright even hinted at the Final Four that he was going to be done. I think a lot of people were stunned yesterday, but he was dropping hints at the Final Four. That's a big loss for college hoops. Give Jay Wright credit. He didn't have a one-year retirement tour. For everybody to kiss his butt.
And get mad at players when they weren't genuflecting at his greatness. Maybe at the end of the regular season against
the opponents. There's a very attractive coaching opening out there. Jay Wright's not going to be interested. But I think Nick Nurse is trying to coach the Raptors to a quick sweep loss here so he can take the Lakers job.
Okay, whatever. Kyle Neptune taking over as head coach for Villanova, correct?
Yeah, I think that's a Fordham coach. That's a pretty solid pick. I think Neptune's going to be a good hire, or is a good hire for Villanova.
All right, well, that does it for us here today. It was a quick show. We'll come back. We have more. Tomorrow's Friday, of course. We'll have more football coverage as I get more and more into these NFL drafts and start making some bets.
Hey, by the way, the Yankees got shut out 3-0 today.
All done, huh? Josh Donaldson. Oh, wait, no, he wasn't in the lineup.
How about Shohei Ohtani last night?
Oh, flirting with perfection. The guy is perfect. 6 innings, 12 strikeouts. Angels. How about this? Astros, 6-6. Actually, they were pretty close. Joe Maddon was right. My Guys in the Desert coming up next.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
We are the voice of NASCAR.
The green flag is in the air, and we are underway the great American race.
The Motor Racing Network. NASCAR Cup, Xfinity, and Craftsman Truck Series Racing. Live on your hometown radio station and MRN or NASCAR.com. Martinsville, Talladega, the Chicago Street Course. We have the side-by-side action and last lap passes for the win.
Photo finishes. Ryan Blaney will win.
The voice of NASCAR, the Motor Racing Network. work.